let's thank our God for the surety and confidence that he gives us. Father, we thank you again. Because of Christ, we can have the surety, we can have confidence, we can have hope. Our souls can be at rest, and they can be well. And we thank you in your Son's name. Amen. I'm going to read a number of passages here this morning. We're going to be a little bit tight on time, and so that's not always a good thing because I tend to talk too fast at that point, feeling a little bit rushed. And so kind of continuing a theme started a number of weeks ago as we were looking at some of the things in our culture that were occurring that trouble us, that are obviously things that the scriptures oppose and speak against and speak to. We looked at Romans chapter 1 and 2, and we're not going to turn there this morning, but justice for all. Justice for all. As men knew God and they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful that God displays his wrath to all sin. Doesn't matter. Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter. God is a holy God. And so we looked at that idea of justice for all. Then we looked at Psalm 2, our sovereign king. Though the heathen may rage and imagine a vain thing, and they try to oppress the truth and push down the truth, Jesus Christ is the sovereign king. This is my beloved son, hear ye him. And he is the true king, the rightful king. And then a couple of weeks ago, we looked at Revelation 19 and 20, where we talked about Christ shall reign, referring to that 1,000-year reign, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And in introducing that message, I made reference to what heaven is currently, what it is currently, what the saints in heaven are experiencing, a continued but better service, a continued but better worship. All right, some of these things about heaven we are experiencing now, worship, service. But we'll continue to experience those things in heaven, but in a more expanded, in a more perfect, in a better way. And that's what the saints are experiencing now. And maybe next week, possibly talk about the new heaven and the new earth. That place, that new Jerusalem, that heavenly city, where heaven and earth are finally one. And we'll enter into something that's entirely different. Level of experience compared to anything that we have experienced so far. But 2 weeks ago, as we looked at the millennial reign of Christ, and what we'll look at today is a space of time that kind of falls between heaven, okay, currently, and the new heaven and new earth. This space of time between heaven and the new heaven and the new earth, and we're kind of been looking at this time period in between those two times. And so we want to talk about it because there's features of that millennium that are part of what we may be experiencing now, just like there's aspects of what we're experiencing as Christians here, service, worship, we will experience fully in heaven. There are aspects of the millennial reign of Christ that we will be involved in as God's people that we will experience then in a full and expanded way, but there are elements of us experiencing it now. So we see that feature as we think about that, things that we may be experiencing now, and part of what we'll experience in heaven, surely we'll experience some of these things in heaven as well when we get to glory. And we'll also experience them in the new heaven and new earth. And so when we see these descriptions in the scriptures of heaven, of the millennium, of the new heaven and the new earth, they're sometimes, they kind of mix, right? They sort of kind of seem to overlap and get a little bit muddled. And so we talked about the millennium last time, and we saw that in looking at the millennium, that Christ will reign on the earth. Will come to the Mount of Olives, and for 1,000 years he will reign. And we looked at the fact that Christ will make war on all the nations. He will bind Satan from any activity at all for 1,000 years. He will reign on the earth for 1,000 years. And during this time, Christ's resurrected saints will reign with him, and his kingdom will be glorious. The lion and the lamb shall lie down together, and children will not fear to play with dangerous animals, because Christ will be ruling and kind of going back to that, to restoring what was in place at the Garden of Eden, though not fully because sin is still present. And so we have that in the scriptures here, and that's what we looked at, that it'll be a glorious thing. And so Christ is going to come and reign upon the earth, and he is going to set all things right upon the earth. And when he comes and reigns on the earth for those 1,000 years and establishes his kingdom, it will be glorious. It will be a glorious thing. And so as we work through the Old Testament and the New Testament theme of Christ reigning on the earth, it obviously brings a lot of questions to our minds, right? And it would make sense when dealing with matters of prophecy, right? Whenever you deal with areas of prophecy, it always brings questions into your mind, because it just makes sense that it would bring questions when you're talking about things that are yet to be fulfilled. Think about even Christ's first coming. It was that way then. Even the prophets, think about this, as it relates to Christ's first coming, even the prophets who were making those predictions found it difficult, even the prophets found it difficult to reconcile how the Messiah could both be a suffering Savior and a King that will reign forever, right? They had a hard time putting that together, even the ones that were making the prophecy. How could he suffer death, this Messiah, and how also could he reign forever? How does that work? And so they even came up with a two Messiah theory. There were those that had a theory of a suffering Messiah, and there were those that had the theory of a ruling or reigning Messiah in an attempt to resolve some of those issues. And so many, or if not most, Old Testament prophecies combine elements from Christ's first coming and his second coming. And so as we read prophecies throughout the scriptures about Christ's coming, all right, a lot of those prophecies and elements of those prophecies come and deal with the elements of his first coming and also his second coming. So it's sort of like looking upon a mountain range, right? In other words, we see these prophecies about Christ's coming, and it's like looking upon the peaks of a mountain range, but we don't really see the valleys of time that may be in between those, right? And so even as the prophets gave those prophecies of a coming Messiah that would be both a suffering Messiah and a reigning Messiah, they saw those prophecies as if they were looking across the mountain peaks, but they weren't able to see the valleys of time and the period of time between the fulfillment of those prophecies. Okay? And so add to that challenge all the symbols and all the types, and that's why we do find it difficult to put all these pieces together when we're talking about prophecy in the scriptures. So as we look at these topics, it's good for us. As we discuss prophecy, as we teach on prophecy, as we preach on prophecy, as we read about prophecy, and there's these varied different opinions about certain things, it is a good approach to do so with a healthy dose of humility. All right? So as we look at prophecy, we do so with a healthy dose of humility, because we understand we just don't have the ability, or God hasn't given us the information to put all these details together, right? And so with that said, when Christ came the first time, he fulfilled over 300 specific prophecies down to the detail. And even some of those prophecies, when first given, didn't even seem to be predictive. But yet they were prophecies, they were predictive, and they were fulfilled. So as we look at prophecy, we don't want to, and we try to make it as simple and clear as possible, we don't want to ignore or explain away what the scriptures explicitly teach just because we can't answer all the questions, right? Just because we can't answer all the questions prophetically, we don't want to dismiss what the scriptures do teach as it relates to future events. Okay, just because, well, we can't understand it. So in discussing these types of things, we want to establish what we can from the actual words of Scripture. And so we've looked at this millennium, which is an improved state of affairs, different from heaven. The millennium is different from heaven as it is now, and it is different than from heaven as it will be in the new heaven and the new earth. And it's definitely different than what we're experiencing on earth now. And so as we look at this time period of the millennium, we looked at two undeniable truths in Scripture, that Christ will reign on the earth. Christ will reign on the earth. We've looked at that last time. And we will reign with him. Okay? Both the Old Testament and the New Testament testify of those basic truths. Christ will reign on the earth one day, and we will reign with him. And so last time we looked at that first great truth, that Christ will reign on the earth. And today we want to look at that second truth, that we will reign with him. Okay? That we will reign with him. Turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. And we'll read maybe just a few sections of scripture here before we get started. And just 3 points this morning. And we'll try to get through those in a way that's comprehensive enough. Revelation chapter 1, all right? This great theme that we will reign with him. Revelation chapter 1, we'll just read verses 4 through 7. Revelation 1, 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's going to be one of our themes. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. All right. And so, and then verse 7, and behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail before him. Even so, amen. Then let's read 2 verses in Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Talking about the saints here, gathered around as Christ is the worthy one to open the seals, the seven sealed books. Verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy, these are the saints, Thou art worthy, O Christ, to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And You have made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. It's the testimony of the saints there. And then one other verse of scripture, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. Hebrews 2, 5 through 9. Hebrews 2, 5 through 9. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. All right, so he didn't give it to the angels to put the world under their subjection and their rule. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Quoting from Psalm 8. Or the son of man that thou visitest him. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crowned him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. All right? Not all things are put under the reign of Christ, okay? But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. We see him now crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So we want to look at 3 great truths this morning as it relates to this theme of we reigning with Christ. Things are out of control now, okay? But one day, as God's people, we will reign with him. And so these three truths this morning. Those that reign with Christ are, first off, ransomed from sin. Those that reign with Christ are, first off, those who have been ransomed from sin. They reign because they have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. All right? And so they reign because they've been ransomed. They've been redeemed. Number two, those who reign with Christ are resurrected to life. Those who will reign have been physically resurrected after physical death. And so those that reign are those who have been resurrected to life. And then thirdly, those that are reigning with Christ are restored to dominion. Right? Those that reign have, through Christ, recovered man's position of privileged authority. And we're living out this reigning and ruling during the millennium as kings and priests unto God. And so, those three descriptions of those that will reign with Christ are, they have been ransomed, they have been resurrected, and they have been restored, all right? And so that pattern is going to kind of emerge here. And so these descriptions, think about these descriptions now, ransomed, resurrected, and restored. They describe to a point at least to some degree, what we enjoy now, right? Ransomed, resurrected, restored, okay? And so we want to look at this kind of premise here. Just as there's a link between what we experience now as believers and what we will experience in heaven, okay, there's a link, right? There's a link. What we experience now as believers, we will experience to a greater degree in heaven, okay? There is a link. We understand that, right? There's also a link between the life that we live now and the life that we live during the millennium. There's still that link of being ransomed, of being resurrected, of being restored. All right? So here's the thought. Christ has ransomed us by his blood already, right? Christ has redeemed us. Christ has purchased us with his blood. But we have not been fully rescued yet, have we? That's obvious. We still battle sin and sin's power, right? All right? We've experienced part of that ransom, but we will experience more fully in the time to come. Christ has raised us up to walk in newness of life, right? We've been resurrected spiritually through faith in Christ, but we have yet to experience physical resurrection, never to die again. We are restored, we are reconciled as new creatures in Christ, but we have not yet experienced that full restoration where we enter into our inheritance. And so again, we're experiencing some of these things now in our salvation, but yet there's a link too to what we'll experience during that millennial reign. In other words, the pattern that you see in these prophecies, as we look at the prophecies of Scripture, and the one that we'll look at today is that this idea of an already but not yet kind of pattern. We're already experiencing some of these things, but not yet to the extent that God intends for us to experience them. So as we work through these prophecies, all right, we see a continuing unfolding progress, this sort of layer by layer, okay, as we work through these things. And so that's what we kind of want to try to do. It's an already but not yet, because these prophecies are sort of like an unfolding progress, okay? It's unfolding, layer upon layer. And when we get to the millennium, and as we rule and reign with Christ, we will experience what we experience now in being ransomed, resurrected, and restored. We'll experience that in a totally different realm, okay? Let's kind of work through these points here, and I'll try to work through them a little quickly here, try to hit the highlights the best I can. Number one, we shall reign with him if we are first off ransomed from sin. We shall reign with him if we are first off ransomed from sin. We see that in Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins with his blood. Revelation 5:9, Christ, the saint said, Christ hath redeemed us to God, redeemed by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And so those that will reign with Christ during the millennium are those that have been ransomed, that have been redeemed, bought back from sin through faith in Jesus Christ. So let's think about that, that Christ loves us. Christ loves us. Christ loves humanity. Okay, with an everlasting love, all right? Christ knows us better than anyone knows us, flaws and all. Christ knows you. Christ knows me. Christ knows everyone better than he knows than any other human being would know us at all. And Christ and God knows us, flaws and all. And he still loves us better than anyone else loves us. That's an amazing thought. Christ knows us better than anybody else knows us, flaws and all, but he still loves us more than anyone else loves us. And it is for that reason that he ransomed you, that he rescued you, because he loved you, okay? Really, one of the greatest hungers of mankind, of human beings, is to be loved. To be loved. We all want to be loved. And isn't it especially comforting as well to be loved by somebody that is significant? Somebody that's significant loves you. They love you deeply. They love you in a faithful way. Someone who will never turn their back on you. Somebody that is there with you during your deepest struggles. Don't you long for that? That type of love? That type of person? All right? Because life so often, many times, feels lonely, does it not? It's so easy to feel rejected, and sometimes easy to feel rejected even by God. And so our greatest need is to be loved deeply and faithfully by someone. It's also our greatest joy to be loved and to love in return. Okay? It's those types of mutual relationships of love that really makes life matter to us, right? If you weren't loved by somebody else and could then love them in return, life would be pretty empty. But because God has so graciously given us the gift of his love, and but yet even familiar love or relational love and the opportunity to love people back, that gives purpose, that gives meaning to life. It brings joy to life. Okay? But for the love of Christ and Christ's love, we would have no hope of ever participating in his eternal kingdom. Apart from the love of Christ that led him to send his son and for Christ to die on the cross, we would have no hope to participate in his eternal kingdom. Christ's love changed everything. It changed everything. God's love changed everything. All right? And so we see that in the scriptures. And it is our joy and our privilege to I hope be marked by love. One of the distinguishing marks of those that are follower learners of Jesus Christ, of God, is that by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, by the love that ye have one for another. So we are without hope of ever participating and having heaven or God's kingdom apart from God's love, but we are ones that demonstrate that God's love as well. And so Christ has freed us. If you're a Christian here this morning, Christ has freed you by paying the price for your sin. Okay? And those that are still under the bondage to sin can't reign in Christ's kingdom of righteousness because of sin. All right? And so this being ransomed or redeemed is a necessary component of being freed. And I can't be freed unless I've been rescued. See, I've been kidnapped. You've been kidnapped by Satan, by sin, by my flesh. We were in bondage to that. All right? And somebody had to rescue us from that. Somebody had to pay the ransom price to buy us back from that condition. And that ransom price was the blood of Christ. All right? And somebody had to love you, and somebody had to love me to do that. All right? To shed their blood. They had to love me to do that. And God and Jesus Christ loved us. And he shed his blood for us. He ransomed us through his blood and faith in his blood that we might have salvation and the benefits of it, but also to reign with him one day. So we've experienced that ransoming already yet, right? But not completely yet, okay? We long for more freedom from sin. Do you long for more freedom from sin in your life? Okay? We are freed from guilt every time we come to the Lord and confess our sins, right? We are being freed from sin's power, all right? We are. We should all be in the process of being freed from sin power. It's like God breaking sin's deadly grip upon us. But we eventually will be freed from sin's presence. See, already experiencing it to some degree and being ransomed and reconciled, but not yet completely. Because one day we will be freed from even sin's presence. Complete freedom from sin will be ours. Think about that. Because Jesus has paid the price. Complete freedom. Could you try to imagine with me this morning what complete freedom from sin would feel like? What would complete freedom from sin feel like? Right now we battle sin that so easily besets us, right? We battle sin that every day so easily besets us. We agonize when we do sinful things that is contrary to what our hearts desired. Romans chapter 7, the things that I would do, I do not. The things that I would not do, those I find myself doing. Do you ever agonize over sin like that daily? Just that constant struggle of doing things that really you don't, you know better. We have to confess our sins regularly, right? Anybody here confess sins daily? Like many times a day? Okay. And we deceive ourselves, John explains, if we think that we have no sin. Think about what it will be like to have no more regret because you messed up. What would that be like? Think about what it would be like to have no more gnawing guilt in your life. no more knowing that you did damage to somebody else because of a sinful choice you made. Think about that. Never having to worry about that. No more being drawn into doing what is self-destructive. We have been freed by his blood. And the infinitely valuable ransom price of Christ's innocent blood poured out for our guilt. He bore God's wrath for our sin, and he did it in our place. Okay? And so one day we will be free from that completely. And we will reign. Only those that have been freed, those that have been ransomed, will be experiencing this reigning with Christ. Okay? And so he made us people. He made us God's people. Okay? Of every ethnicity. Okay? Think about the church universal. A diversity of ethnicity, but unity in Christ. A diversity of cultures, but unity in the love of Christ. A new people of citizens of heaven and earth. Okay? And so Christ was exalted. Philippians 2. Who, being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Christ was exalted because of the ransom he paid. Philippians 2. Therefore, God also hath highly exalted him because he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And because of the ransom that Christ paid, God exalted Jesus Christ. And then we will reign with him because we are ransomed. We will reign with him because he was exalted because of that. And we will reign with him because we are ransomed. Okay, and so that's the idea there. And so we rejoice in that. And so the question is, are you set free by Christ? Have you been set free? Have you been free from your sin, the penalty of sin, the guilt of sin? Because Jesus Christ has already paid the price by shedding his blood on the cross. Have you been freed? Have you been ransomed? Have you been bought back from sin and are a child of God? See, and if not, that's what you need this morning. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, to be washed, to be cleansed, to be ransomed, to become a Christian. And then you become part of God's family and experience the blessings of that salvation in part now, but one day completely, in full. And you'll be freed one day even from the presence of sin by trusting Christ this morning, saved from the penalty of sin, and then beginning that process of being saved from the power of sin in your life and being able to get victory over sin as you are a new creature in Christ, but one day having the promise that you will be saved even from the presence of sin itself and have the privilege of being exalted with Christ and ruling and reigning during that time of the millennium. Secondly, those who are with that reign with Christ are those that have been resurrected to life. Physically resurrected after physical death. Death completely conquered. Okay? Again, we have a hint of that as it relates to Christ early in the book of Revelation. We read in Revelation 1 that he is the first begotten of the dead. So Jesus Christ, as the resurrected Son of God, is leading the way. He's the first begotten of the dead. Okay? And we see that. We read in Hebrews 2:9 that he suffered death. But now we see him crowned with glory and honor. And so Jesus Christ is the first begotten. He's the resurrected from the dead. So we have this vicarious dying on the cross, dying in our place so we can live. And we now see him alive forever, crowned with glory and honor here in the scriptures. Okay? I don't know what ones to turn to here, but we see a couple of things in Revelation. In Revelation 20, we see the resurrection of the just. I'll have you turn to this one passage, and this will probably be the only one I have you turn to as we try to conclude. Revelation chapter 20, as we talk about the resurrection here. In Revelation chapter 20, we see two resurrections. We see the resurrection of the just, and we see the resurrection of damnation in Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 through 15. Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 through 6, we see the resurrection of the just. It says, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them," chapter 20, verse 4, "and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And so we have this first resurrection of the just. Now look at verses 12 through 15 as it kind of expands upon this second resurrection, this resurrection of damnation. And I saw the dead and small great stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so this first resurrection are for those that are blessed, those that are holy, that have been ransomed. Okay? And so we have these two separate, we have these two resurrections. Book of John talks about those a little bit. You don't need to turn there. But John 5, 28 and 29 talks about these two resurrections. So again, we don't, in the Gospels here, we don't see it as clearly until we get to the book of Revelation. John 5, 28 and 29, Jesus says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Now there in the Gospels, we don't see there's a period of time between those resurrections. But we see that as we get there in this last book of the Bible. And so we have these two resurrections. And this first resurrection is the resurrection of life, this second one is the resurrection of death. Okay? And so we have that here. And so here's the point I want to make here. It's important that we see that there is a relationship between our resurrection and our reigning. There is a connection. There is a link again between our resurrection and our reigning. Already, but not yet to come. Okay? Just as there is a connection between Christ's resurrection and his exaltation, right? Connection between Christ's resurrection and his exaltation, there's a connection between our resurrection and future with him. And so we want to see that length. Okay? As you look to Christ as your Savior, and he conquers death for you, and you are resurrected with him, you could not beat death on your own. It is only through the work of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. And so, if you believe he has conquered the death, he will make you alive forevermore. I always, Pastor Richie, whenever he does a funeral, usually he says this about the person there. I kind of like it. He says, this person is alive more today than they've ever been. Okay? It kind of just, yeah, all right. Let's remember that. Okay? It's a funeral. Yeah, they're dead. But He would remind us that, you know, Joe is more alive today than he's ever been. That's the truth. And as God works through his time agenda, his eternal plan, prophetically, okay, it's because of being resurrected with Christ, because we have been ransomed. We have been transformed now as a child of God, and we are walking in newness of life. But one day, as his resurrected saints conquering over death, we shall rule and reign and be exalted with him forever. Okay? Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised us up with Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. All right? There is for us who believe far more experience of power to come than we are close to experiencing now. Are you experiencing his resurrection power in your life now? Yes, we are. But we're going to experience far more power in our lives as we continue on through God's plan, and specifically during this time that we will rule and reign with him. It is in our resurrected state that we will participate in the reign of Christ upon this earth. Now, it's hard for us to imagine that. What is this reigning? How are we going to participate? It's hard for us to imagine that this level of authority and administration in the reign of Christ. When you think about having authority, okay, when we think about, well, what kind of authority will we have as we rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years? Well, maybe you can think back of some of those passages in the Gospels where Jesus talks about rewarding the faithful people. And he uses the parable of a master that goes away for a long period of time, And he comes back, and when he comes back and finds those that faithfully served him during that time that he was away, that he rewards the faithful with oversight of cities, 5 cities or 10 cities, okay? And so when we think about ruling and reigning with Christ during that millennial reign, maybe we can get some understanding of that. Well, he came back and he rewarded his faithful servants by giving them oversight of 5 cities or 10 cities. That's hard for us to imagine because we have a hard time taking out the trash, okay? But yet when we reign in resurrected power, when we have resurrected life because we've been ransomed, we will reign with Christ. And during that millennial year, we will rule and reign over cities. As we will rule and reign under the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay? So you may be a mayor. Okay? You will have oversight. You will have administration and resurrected power, reigning and exalted with Christ, serving under him, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And so those that that are living know Christ will rule in that way. We tend to set all our success goals way too low. Here's an application. If you are pursuing nothing but the highest position of power, influence, or wealth that you can attain in the kingdom of this world, you are shortchanging yourself. There is a far greater kingdom coming to which you as a believer belong that will dominate the entire earth. That's the administration you want to be a part of. That's the kingdom that you want to be a part of. Not seeking power and authority and prestige here in this earthly kingdom that will pass away. You want to make sure you're part of the ransomed, that you experience the resurrection into life, and that you rule and reign in that eternal kingdom. That should be our motivation. That should be what we live for. Okay? Don't set your hopes on anything less, and don't give your life to anything less. Okay, then living for God's kingdom. Think about eternity. And because of you have spiritual life, because you've been ransomed, you put to death the things that are earthly in you. Okay? Think about things, the passions, the lust, the things that trade you some sort of fleeting pleasure and destroy your soul. By Christ's power, put those things to death. And think about things above, Colossians 3:1. And bring that kind of custom and way of living here, right? Seek those things which are above, where Christ. So we're resurrected with Christ. So let's live that mentality now, that we will live in its fullness when we are in his presence. And then lastly here, and I'll just go quickly as it relates to this last point, as we think about the resurrected and those types of things. And so living a life of worship and glory. And then we had the idea of being restored. Those that reign with Christ are restored to dominion. All right, restored to dominion. In other words, Christ participated in our humiliation. He became a man so that we could participate in his exaltation. Okay? Christ participated in our humiliation by becoming a human, being without sin but unsubject unto death, so that we could participate in his exaltation. By becoming a mortal man, he made himself lower than the angels, right? Hebrews chapter 2, for a little while. Okay, and that humiliation of Christ was a greater humiliation than what mankind has ever generally experienced. And in so doing, in Christ being willing to humiliate himself, become made lower than the angels for a little while, he has opened up for us the opportunity to reign with him and the recovery of mankind's created purpose. All right, what was mankind's created purpose? Genesis 1. We are told that we should fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. We've never done that, right? All right. I mean, Adam and Eve couldn't do that before they even had children. They had sinned. They had forfeited God's eternal purpose for them even before they had children and began filling the earth. All right? But for Christ and through Christ, we will now have dominion during the millennium. We will have positions of authority under the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We will have a connection with God. We will be kings and priests unto God. So during the millennium, we will have authority under the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We will be priests. We will have a connection with God in worship. We will have a connection with people and teaching them. Remember, there will still be an element of sin, though subdued. So in the millennium, we will have a position of authority under the King of Kings, and we will have a position of a connection with God and worship and of teaching others. This shows that this dimension, again, of an existence of a class of people in the millennium that are still sinners, that they need to come to faith. They need ambassadors to come to Jesus Christ. So we will give our lives in full to this devoted life of worship and service to God. Okay? And we do that now, right? We already do that, but not yet to the fullest. And in the millennium, we will still be involved in that to a greater degree. We will have authority. We will have a connection with God in worship and an influence upon others that teaching that still need to know Christ during that period of time. And we will be involved in that. See, we are a royal priesthood that we should show forth now the virtues of him that have called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So while we do not yet fully enjoy the status that we will one day enjoy in the kingdom, our citizenship in the kingdom now drives us. How we live now, even now we serve as ambassadors. Even now we are the go-betweens in that we are pointing people to Jesus, the ultimate mediator. Okay? He has assigned us the mission of giving the good news, and we proclaim with authority the gospel that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. So we are kings and priests in part already, but not yet what we will yet be. It is still unfolding. And so what an amazing future God's given to us, all right? And it has already begun to unfold, all right? And so we are the priesthood of believers with the Holy Spirit working together, living dedicated lives of spiritual service, promoting the authority of the gospel. We are to be doing that now. And one day we will reign completely with him as the ransomed, the resurrected, and the restored, okay? And so as we understand those things more fully, we can pray as well, along with the Apostle John, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, as he will restore his kingdom and we will rule and reign with him. Well, let's be faithful in living that out now. And so let's be faithful in that.